Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry blend and orange hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Some people play by the rules, but the real game changers break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we're talking to the risk takers, the rebels, and the ones rewriting the playbook. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillo, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Pair of tickets on the line to see the Phillies-Rockies tomorrow, 105 at Citizens Bank Park. First clue today, Hugh's clue, something Hugh's afraid of. Could open up a lot
afraid.
Of answers. Yep, could open up a lot of potential answers. We'll continue with that. Your phone calls on the Tush Push. Pretty split on the poll here early. Gut feeling, do you believe the Tush Push will be banned before next season? I believe it will. Hugh's still holding on to hope here. It's 52% no, 48% yes. So people are pretty split down the middle of whether or not this thing is gone. Goodell was the tipping point for me.
Hearing they got him, to what's being said, man.
Yeah, hearing him yesterday echo the nonsense. If he wants it out, or maybe he's just carrying what the owners want because that's his job, it's going to be gone. And I think they're going to use the next month to convince the people they need to do, to convince them to vote their way. And we got to say goodbye to Tush Push. This is ridiculous. The Eagles are being totally screwed here. I was glad Lurie stood up yesterday and fought for them. All right, let's hear a couple more things Lurie had to say yesterday, as it was kind of his yearly state of the Eagles from Jeffrey Lurie. How about the idea of the Eagles still being super hungry here to go win another Super Bowl months after winning their second?
But now, I got to say, an interesting sort of look at oneself. I feel like I'm just as hungry, if not more now, for a third. Ever since the parade, I don't know that there's been one day where, you know, we're not discussing something that's in terms of the planning process to try to get a third. It's nonstop. Now, maybe June, July, there's less one can do, but I find myself, it's a burning desire to get that third, and we'll go from there. That's really, it's an obsession. Maybe it's not healthy, but I think it's worthwhile.
You know what the first thing that struck me about what he said was that I hear what he's saying, and it's basically the same thing that AJ echoed immediately after the game.
Not satisfied, right?
Yes, but it's the semantics. It's the wording. It's the way you say it. I mean, that should be a lesson, because there's not a guy that since this happened that has talked about this that doesn't feel that same way. It's just the way that you present. It's the presentation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that, I mean, I just thought there's a lesson to be learned to whoever's listening, to whomever's in a position like that or in that situation when you win a championship. It's all in the way that you say things, because they all say the same thing. It's just the way that certain individuals choose to deliver the message.
I do think it's interesting listening to the Eagles post this Super Bowl versus post the first one. Mm-hmm. You know, Lurie and Howie were obviously here for that one, too. Because the first one was like, it was almost like the weight was off their shoulders.
They broke through.
Finally. And Lurie had been here 20-plus years when they won that first one. Now it's like, all right.
Not enough.
Now we want to be the best. We want to be known as one of the, if not the best franchise in the whole league.
And then, when you look at it, like, I listened to what he said. And this is what I got from it. And I know he didn't say this much, but this is how I interpreted it. That now you won the Super Bowl 1 year one way. Now we're trying to figure out how to do it again a different way than we did it last year. Because when you think about the NFL, people, and I know it's kind of hard to do because we watch the games and we don't put that much thought into, you know, how the game is being played. We like football. But every year there has been teams have been different and different factors come into play. Like last year, one of the biggest stories was scoring was down. Mm-hmm. Two high safeties, they got rid of that. They had to move them up closer to the line of scrimmage they moved them back, I'm sorry, because they wanted to take away the big play.
Which opened up the run game more.
Exactly. That was this NFL. This is how this year played out. Next year, it's going to be something different. It's the nuance of the NFL that's fascinating. And a lot of times we don't pay attention to the nuance. We just get caught up, I remember back in the day when they used to do it. It changes every year. And next year, it's going to be interesting to see how that plays and if the Eagles are in ahead of the curve when it comes to that.
Well, and I think a key to that, and the Patriots used to have this. Now the Eagles, I think, have it. The ability to win either way, right?
Yeah.
Like, so whatever the league expresses itself, you've got the personnel and the coaching and the players to do it. Like, in the Super Bowl, and Lurie said this yesterday, they kind of shut down Saquon, but the Eagles' passing game and Jalen were so good in the Super Bowl, it didn't matter, right? They still scored 40 points.
Yeah.
Like, you have to be able to do both to win. So I love hearing Lurie hungry here. He also was asked about the team, and something we've brought up a lot and really just kind of talked among ourselves, like, can you actually say or think they're better than last year because all the losses they've had in free agency and the trade of CJ? Let's hear how Lurie answered that question yesterday.
Is it difficult to sit here right now and say, hey, we're a better team right now than we were February 9th when we beat the Chiefs when you lose that many guys?
I don't know, Bob. I'd almost like to say that has there been a better NFL team than the 24 Eagles? I don't know. I'd much rather say that. I'm very proud of that. I think we had an incredible roster. I think we'll still go into the next season with a superb roster.
What'd you make of that? That felt like a little bit of a spin by Lurie there. Is it hard to say, you know, after all the losses, you guys are still the best team? And he's like, well, I prefer to say we were the best team by a lot last year. It seemed like he wanted to avoid answering the question of if they're better, because I personally, I don't think deep down he thinks they're quite as good right now. Now, maybe after the draft, maybe after the summer, he will. I thought he kind of talked around that because they're not as good as they were.
Well, I think you have to be careful because there are still a lot of parts that, you know, you still have to piece together.
Yes, and there's a lot of offseason to go.
Yes. So you don't want to be pigeonholed into saying something that might come back and bite you in the butt.
Plus, he doesn't want to say, no, we're not as good.
Like, I mean, he can't say that.
But that's what I felt listening to him. Like, he doesn't believe it, but he's trying to say, well, we were so good that, you know, it's hard to be that good.
You know, it's when I think about the Eagles, because now it's funny because a lot of people, I say, what do you think about the team and how they're going to be next year? I mean, really, to be honest, can't answer that question because we don't have all the pieces yet. But I think that they'll be fine because when you look at the offensive side of the ball, I think the evolution of Jalen, he's going to keep evolving and changing as a quarterback. I think that you have some pieces here that are going to be here for a while. So that part I'm not afraid of that. Now, a lot of people are probably looking at it from the defensive standpoint. I look at it like the Eagles are looking at it. They're like, okay, we got our quarterback, been the two. He's outplayed the quarterback that he played against in both of them. It's time for him to take that next step, whatever that step is. Whether that's to be the guy that throws the ball down the field a whole lot, or is it a guy that he does what's kind of like what he did last year, does what's needed to be done in order to win the game in the moment. Now, he's won that way, and he's been to a Super Bowl doing that. So I think it's probably going to be more on Jalen this year than it has any other time that he's been the quarterback.
Well, it feels like they're setting up that way when the defense is going to be, you know, just different and not as deep as it was last year. Kyle, what would you make of that Lurie comment? Asked about the team, you know, how do you reconcile probably not being as good? And he didn't want to say it. He just kind of said, well, we were great last year.
Yeah, but I mean, it was a tap dance. I think anyone with a brain knows that it's pretty much impossible to make the argument that the Eagles right now are as good of a team as they were last year. They're clearly going into this offseason with the priority less on repeating and going back-to-back, as hungry as Jeffrey Lurie said they are for that third Super Bowl. I don't think they as an organization believe that they're in the best or prime position to go and win it next season. I think it seems like they're trying to correct or course correct from what they did after the last time they went to the Super Bowl in 2017. And what?
Huh?
No, it's just this is you.
What? All right, well, then just forget what I have to say.
No, I'm sorry. I just had to show my fault. Kyle, this is one of those moments.
That's okay. You got it.
It wasn't on me.
It was. He showed me something. Kyle's trying to make a point.
I'm sorry, you guys looking at porno in there?
No, it's not that.
No. See, now. see, now you put me on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
Hugh got a message that he wanted to show it to me. And he couldn't wait until you were done speaking next break.
I should have waited now.
Yeah, you know, we have these things called breaks.
Kyle's mad at me.
Yeah, I know. I agree with you, Kyle. I was able to listen to what you said while I saw what he showed me.
Some of us can multitask.
They are not. They're not prioritizing next year as much as the big picture.
What was I saying, Hugh?
Huh?
Do you agree with Kyle's assessment?
Totally agree.
Well, he actually was on the other side of you. So 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phone lines while Hugh composes himself here. Hugh's clues. First clue is something Hugh's scared of. And gut feeling, is the tush push gone? I say this thing is a goner. Tom in Middletown. What's up, Tom?
Hey, gentlemen. How are you?
Thank hey, Tom. What's up?
I listened. When I hear Mr. I'm going to call him Mr. Lurie instead of Jeffrey Lurie, because I'm so impressed with him. Like, I understand now why we are the class organization of the NFL. This guy could be really, like, going rampant crazy about them trying to ban this tush push, and he's not. He's just doing, like, you know, answering gentlemen questions, and he did his homework. He said, "Hey, listen, how about the forward pass when that was, yeah, blah blah." So, I mean, he's just a great owner, and that's why we have a great organization.
Well, yeah, and both he and Howie this week, obviously. Jeff, in front of the cameras and the microphone, he stood up for the Eagles as they should. Stood up for the Eagles. I mean, they called out the NFL's BS.
Yeah, he did it without being an obnoxious billionaire, egotistical guy. Like, he did it in, like, grace. Like, I was impressed by that. So that's my point on Mr. Lurie. But I was proud of that, and I still agree with Kyle. It's going to get banned.
Yeah, it's a goner. Now, I just feel like they're going to use the next month to sway people in the NFL to vote their way, and we're going to lose this thing because they're just screwing the Eagles here. Tom, what's Hugh scared of? What's your guess?
Okay, and I've also got something for Hugh, too.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Okay, I appreciate that he's doing his push-ups, but when he said he's doing push-ups and sit-ups, the sit-ups I kind of question. Now, I do 4 sit-ups a day.
Four?
Okay.
4.
4 sit-ups a day.
Okay.
I have to get up out of the bed to go to the bathroom 3 times a night, and then I get up for the one final time of the day. So there's my 4 sit-ups.
Yeah. No, see, I have a sit-up bar, so that helps.
Okay.
I have the sit-up bar.
Are you doing the ab roller still? Or now you stopped that?
No, since I bust my chin that one morning and you heard.
Hugh used to bring his ab roller in here, and one time we were on a break, and I just heard a thud, and he fell over.
And I said, Joe, you see that? said, no.
I heard it.
More life alert. Douglas was born.
Yeah, that was the first life alert, Douglas. Tom, what do you got for us? Something Hugh's scared of.
He was scared of, like, going into the ocean or a body of water or being on a body of water.
He is.
Well, he sure is. Yeah. Now, that's not it today, but he sure is scared of that. I mean, that's obvious.
You should have seen him when we were driving by
the Gulf.
The Gulf when we were in Florida and during the periods where Hugh was not asleep.
Yeah, which was not.
He was commenting
on
how vast and scary it was. So. Yeah.
Are you good over there?
That don't bother me.
What? That you're scared of the water? Yeah. I mean, you tell people all the time.
That don't bother me. And I fall asleep at the, I almost fell asleep at the Phillies game. It don't bother me.
The game, I mean, the cool. First pitch was 3:05.
And what happens is this: is I was sitting at the bar and I'm just calm, just people watching, and I just get kind of calm and I just get a little sleepy. And I tend to doze off.
Did you see the video? There's an NFL reporter, Mark Colobi, covers the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
I got to show this to you. He was at he covers the Steelers. He was at Tomlin's press conference. You know, they mm-hmm. all sat around the table like Sirianni did his break. He totally fell asleep at Tomlin's press conference, and that he's trying to convince people he didn't really fall asleep.
Oh, no, I'll go to sleep on you in a heartbeat. It ain't no shame.
Yeah, but that was his job. It's as if you fell asleep on the show.
Well, no, you got to do the job. Yes.
Yeah, no, and he was claiming he didn't fall asleep. On the show?
Yeah, I fell asleep in the morning show one time. and I don't know if his audio is still in there, but my head hit the microphone. Boom! And it was like, Angelo was like,
this was here?
Yes. And Angelo was like, did your head just hit the microphone?
During Angelo? He couldn't have been happy. Come on now.
Luckily, he was in a good mood because he laughed. But boy,
caught him on a good day.
I feel like it depends on who. Like if it were me,
I would. Quinn
might ring my neck.
Yeah. Oh no, who hasn't been cussed out by Angelo at least one time?
True. So you fell asleep on the air. And then we also have this.
Still no, because it's still like you go up there and you're vulnerable. Like
you immediately learn musical taste.
Hugh Douglas.
What?
Hugh damn Douglas.
What?
Hugh Douglas. What
I've
the hell,
a,
man?
Bacon.
Yeah, it is bacon. It is bacon.
If I do say so myself.
But you can hear that.
Hugh Douglas. It's a microphone.
Abe was hot.
It's bacon, man. Let me turn
it. Abe's still mad at me about
no,
that.
No, go ahead, Hugh. We'll wait for you.
We can just wait. We can just wait
for you. We'll wait.
Okay, it's turn. Okay, I'm back.
He does sound. He sounds like
Abe is you, but on steroids. Like, Abe is like, Abe is probably about, 5'2"? You know what I mean? Abe is an angry little man. Right,
so,
for real.
Did I just hear you campaigning for the Radio Hall of Fame one day? You just said you had a historical radio career.
Well, I did. I didn't want to, you know, I'm saying I had a hell of a run.
Well, we said the audio of him cooking bacon on the air. He might have a case.
I've had a historic run.
I know. I don't know if I've ever heard anyone campaign for themselves within their career for Hall of Fame induction one day.
I mean, I'm just saying.
Okay. You just
got to get out there.
Yeah, you just put it out there. All right, let's go to the phones here. Marlon is in Southwest Philly. What's up, Marlon?
Hey, man. Y'all killing me with these crying about Tush. But
we're just trying to get fairness. Marlon, we want fairness and justice.
Well, it's fine. Well, I know it hurts. All the Eagle fans. That is the only play he got, so, you know.
You know, they just did win the Super Bowl, Marlon. You know, Marlon, the Cowboys fan. The Eagles just won the Super Bowl by destroying the league for 4 months. You say it's the only play we got. Come on, Marlon.
Well, that's the only play Sirianni got, is what I'm saying.
Well,
how many plays the Cowboys got?
Zero.
Yeah. You know.
You got your owner trying to work around the agent.
I got to love Marlon, though. Marlon, your team is trash, and you still call it talking trash. Hey, I respect that.
Hey, bro. Hey, that is his own. Hey, yo, why he ain't get paid? See, he know he better not after we great take Tush push from.
He's going to get paid.
About
yeah. They not paying that guy, $2 million a year.
Your coach is Brian Schottenheimer.
He got no plays, bro.
We know.
Are the Cowboys tanking, Marlon? What are they doing?
Well, like I just told you, I told you about the Cowboys. We going to send Michael Parsons to y'all.
I'll take him in a heartbeat.
We don't want him.
Well, I'll take him in a heartbeat. That's fine. I mean, I'd love that.
We don't want that guy.
Sure I do. Great player.
And then I got one question for you, because I just want y'all Eagle fans to know something. How come instead of giving Barkley all that money, and y'all need money, why didn't y'all just extend Jalen so that you could save the money and then do what y'all really want
to
do?
Well, some people wanted to do that. He wanted to do that.
But Joe, and you smart guy, you know the only reason why they didn't do it is because they don't believe in him.
Mm.
No, I don't think that. I don't think that's it. They didn't. No. Marlon. They didn't need to do it this year. Now, if they don't do it next year or the year after, then perhaps you're onto something. But most likely you're wrong because you're a Cowboys fan.
They didn't need to extend Barkley.
I didn't like that. I know. They just gave him extra money.
You guys going to draft a quarterback this year?
So
they definitely drafted a quarterback.
Hey, Marlon. Hey, Marlon. Your coach is Brian Schottenheimer, and your owner is senile.
That's all right.
Well, it's not.
Okay.
It's not really.
It's okay.
Actually, boneheaded your owner is.
Boneheaded owners. The Eagles are the best franchise in the league, Marlon.
I've eaten a lot of raccoon.
How?
Last I checked, the best teams win back to back. When you get to that level, then you can holler all that you popping. So you can't
Marlon,
pop
your team stinks.
You didn't even win back to back.
Stinks.
You
your team
did.
Stinks. Brian Schottenheimer might be the most least inspiring head coach in 25 years. He stinks.
Listen, Brad Johnson won a Super Bowl, bro.
Oh, that's enough. I'm done.
You know what's you can really tell how pathetic the state of Cowboys fans are when we say, like, we won the Super Bowl. It's like, well, you didn't win back-to-back.
Right.
Like,
I mean,
yeah, okay.
You're not a dynasty yet.
Kind of like when them cats talking about the tush pushes hurt people, but they don't have any data to back it
you
up.
If you say it's an injury risk, I need some data.
I need somebody to show me where it's an injury risk.
Well, that's what Howie said in the league meeting. And then and Dr. Sills, by the way, that's a tough name for a doctor. Dr. Sills. Like, I'm sure the guy's a good doctor, but it's tough for me to take you seriously if your last name is
Dr.
Sills.
Sills.
It's tough. It really is. Let's go to T in South Philly. What's up, T?
Yeah,
T going once.
T doing work. He doing something.
T doing work.
He paying attention to the radio
station. We'll put T back on in a second here. Aaron in San Diego's up. What's up, Aaron?
Good morning, Philadelphia.
Good morning, Aaron.
You know, every morning I turn on YouTube. I like to see what's going on in the crypto news.
Yep.
And surprise, surprise, I see a WIP live and click on it. And Hugh comes up. And I'll tell you what, Hugh, some guys are made for radio and some guys are made for TV. And I think you can fill out both. You're looking pretty good at
it. How about that? Yeah,
thank you very much. I just knew it was going to be a backhanded comment in this.
Yep.
So it's still open for one. It still might be coming. But thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
And I'm very happy to be made for radio, but they put me on camera anyway. Go ahead, Aaron.
Then I guess what I can best describe as the scene out of like Christmas Vacation when Julia Louis-Dreyfus and her husband are laying in bed. And Clark Griswold finally gets the Christmas lights going in the house, and that beam of light just shines through that bedroom window.
You caught the backhand.
That's me. Yeah.
Joe, you give a whole new definition to light skin.
So here's the thing.
You literally glow on TV.
Aaron, I'm a fair-skinned person, but on top of that, it is very bright over me.
Came back on YouTube. Hold on.
Okay.
Let me put my sunglasses on.
Go ahead. Protect your eyes. I am fair skinned. I mean, that's who I am. But the light over me doesn't help the situation.
It's refracting.
Yes, it's making me. So someone told DeCamera this morning that he looked very bright as well. And DeCamera at least has hair. I mean, I don't have any hair, so that's making it worse. It's this spot. I think it makes us whoever's sitting here. You shine brighter, and then I shine anyway. So it's pretty bright. I get it.
Joe, you don't shine. You literally, if we're on a deserted island, I'm just going to set you out on the beach and let the sun hit you because you can see from 100 miles away.
Mm. Well, that's one. Make sure you can see where I am. You don't want to lose me. Like, we lost Hugh last week in the background. We're not going to lose me.
Yeah, looking like Suge Knight, the death row picture.
Go ahead, Aaron.
No, it's an easy fix. Just invest in a makeup artist. That's all.
Yeah, I don't know if we have a budget for that.
See, I told you.
I'm not putting makeup on. No, there's no makeup.
You put some makeup on.
Nope. Not doing it. Go ahead, Aaron.
In terms of the tush push, I think they, you know, the reason that they pushed it back is because they probably didn't have enough votes, but, you know, they got to be very careful with this because, you know, you ban the tush push and you're taking a whole element of the game out. I mean, if you're going to ban the tush push, then you got to ban, you know, when offensive linemen go into a pile to get that extra couple yardage for the running back or wide receiver. You know, that's going to be a whole part of the game that's gone. So you got to really be careful with the verbiage and stuff like that in terms of banning the tush push because it's a whole part of the game of football that you're going to remove.
Well, I agree. And that was the comment I saw from Jim Harbaugh in the meeting yesterday. That was his issue. And Aaron, we appreciate that. I don't even know if Jim Harbaugh is going to vote against this or for it, but he just didn't love the wording. I think in the next month they're going to rewrite this. They're going to make it more to where they can convince further people. And I think we're done with this. I think we're going to lose the tush push. 215-592-9494. We'll come back with another clue to help you win these Phillies tickets. Obviously, there's a lot of things that Hugh's afraid of, so we need to narrow it down for you. Do you believe the tush push is going to be banned? Your gut feeling. And we'll get to what our annoying Cowboy fan caller brought up there. What Lurie had to say about the future of Nick Sirianni. That's next. Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.